Hey, I'm so glad to be with you. If I didn't introduce myself, my name is David. I'm honored to be the pastor here at Sunrise City Church. We are in a series called Entrusted, and what we've been talking about is how everything we have ultimately is God's. And so the big idea we've been getting around these last few weeks is that God owns everything. We don't own anything, and so we are to use what God has entrusted us with for His glory. So God owns everything. We really don't own anything, but He entrusts us with so much, and we are to use that for His glory. We opened the week a couple of weeks ago talking about the series. Last week we talked about money, and today we are going to talk, if you're looking for a title of the message, it's the precious gift of time. The precious gift of time. So read with me in Ephesians chapter 5. Paul to the church at Ephesus writes this: "Pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." God, we are grateful for your word. And we're just taking a few moments this morning to recognize that time is so precious. And so everyone in this room today, all the kids on campus, everybody on this campus right now has been gifted this day. Those watching online have been gifted this day. And we aren't promised tomorrow. And so we're grateful for this day that you have given us, this precious moment in time that you have gifted us with. I pray that when we walk out of the doors today, we would think a little bit more about the time that we've been given. And ultimately, Lord, that we would seek to use every second of the day for your glory to expand your kingdom. Thank you that scripture speaks into this from cover to cover so consistently. This precious gift of time, would you speak to us? It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Hey, what I want us to do this morning, and you may find it kind of weird, but we're going to do it. We're going to have 30 seconds of silence. 30 seconds of silence. So what I want you to do, you don't have to close your eyes. You can if you would like. I'm not. I'm just going to kind of just stand here. But I want you to picture just an old school clock. And you know, it's got that second that's ticking, you know, tick. For the next 30 seconds, I just want you to visualize that. If you need to close your eyes to do that, that's fine. But we're just going to take 30 seconds, and I just want you to picture that second hand kind of doing that little tick motion. Can we do that this morning? Y'all with me? Let's do it. On the count of three, 30 seconds of silence. I even have a second timer. I'm going to be able to watch. 3, 2, 1. All right, we did it. Did anybody think we're playing the silent game? Here's why we just took 30 seconds of silence, only for me to tell you this. That's 30 seconds you're never going to get back. You will never get that 30 seconds back. And think, even now as I'm talking about this, we're wasting even more time just talking about the fact that we just spent 30 seconds in silence just to make the point that this is 30 seconds you're never going to get back. And that was a precious 30 seconds. Did anyone enjoy the silent moment? Yeah, wasn't that kind of nice? Yeah, it was just peaceful, it was calm, but you will never get it back. And so I hope January 18, 2026, you can even write it in your journal, you can remember it tomorrow morning in your prayers, that we spent 30 seconds just simply to acknowledge we wasted 30 seconds. Now here's the point of why we're saying all this, is just to bring out the point that time really is so precious. Time is so precious. Yet there's not a person in this room that if I said, have you wasted time this week, be honest, everyone would lift their hand up. You would say, yep, I've definitely wasted some time this week. Part of the issue is that thing that we all carry around with us called a cell phone. Everybody knows the feeling, I think at least, of you just, you know, the fog of you're just staring at your screen. Is anybody, and then you lift your head up and you're like, I just spent an hour watching 5-second video clips. I don't even know what I watched. But you just get so sucked into it. And you're like, I just wasted an hour of my day. Contributed nothing good to my life. You get these weird songs stuck in your head, these, you know, social media. You know that feeling of lifting your head from the fog of staring at your phone. And the reason that we fall into this trap of wasting our time is because many of us don't like really what's going on in our life right now. We want to escape reality to get into some other world. Sometimes we want to go back in time and remember the good old days, or we want to think ahead to when life could be so much better. In the meantime, this gift of a day you've been given, these seconds, that 30 seconds you were just gifted, are meant to be leveraged for the glory of God. And when we spend so much time trying to escape reality, we completely and entirely miss what God's wanting to do in our lives. We completely miss it. When did all of this start? It started back in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve were essentially told, do whatever you want, live the life you want to live. It's honor me. You just can't eat from this one tree. So Adam and Eve were essentially said, man, live freely, but there's this one tree you can't eat from. It was a limit they were given in life. It was the one boundary God gave them. And what did Adam and Eve decide to do? What did they do? Ate from the tree. Yeah, and when they ate from the tree, it ruined everything for them. Everything. Sin entered into the world. Ruined everything. And what Adam and Eve tried to do is they tried to play God. They tried to say, we know better than God. Now, they were tempted, yes, but we know better than God. We're going to do it our way, and it ruined everything. And here's what we do today when it comes to our time. There's a lot in Scripture about time, about resting, honoring the Sabbath, making the most of the time. We just read it. But what we often like to do is we like to just kind of throw out what God says about time and think that we know better. We think that we can be everywhere at all times and pack our schedule out and that we know better than God. And when we try to play God when it comes to our time, ruins everything, creates chaos. I read a few things in a book this week, amazing book, by the way, called Faithfully Present, Faithfully Present. Here's something I read in the book. So many of our problems, fears, frustrations, and anxieties are the result of trying to rid ourselves of what Jesus gladly took upon himself, humanity. The book goes on to say, God has placed you where you are and when you are for his glory right now. A lot of the anxieties and the frustrations and the complications of life that pop up are because we forget that we are human and we try to do everything and fit everything we possibly can into the single day that we've been gifted, and we forget to embrace the day that God has given us. We forget to trust that God has us in his hands, as the psalmist wrote in Psalm 31:15. So here's our big idea for today. Time is a precious gift. Use it wisely. Time is a precious gift. Use it wisely. Number one, slow down and rest obediently. Slow down and rest obediently. If you look at verse 15, Paul writes, pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise. Now, when we stop there at the pay careful attention part, referring to the Christian life, he's already alluding to, as we live our days, we are to be very strategic with our time. When it comes to living the Christ life, this life that we've been called to live, We're to be thinking through what we're doing with our time. We're to be paying careful attention. That means to live this life that God has called you to live, to honor him and bring you glory. It doesn't just randomly happen. He's actually saying we need to be focusing in on it. We need to be vigilant with our time, thinking it through. But then he goes on to say, pay careful attention then to how you walk. How you walk. Of course, we're to walk as the wise, not as the unwise. Have you ever heard of the Christian life being referred to as a walk? You know, growing up in church, it would usually be like, hey man, how's your walk going? And if you grew up in church, you know, they're talking about not like, did you take a walk this morning? It's like, how's your walk with God? Did you ever say, like, how's the walk going, man? You're sitting in accountability. How's the walk? How's your walk? The Christian walk. Paul using this walking language when it comes to referring to Christian living or just living in general reminds us of a lot. Like the Old and New Testament speaks a lot of life as a walk. Now, to remind you for a second, when Paul's talking about endurance, he's usually talking about a race. You want to race to the finish line, and life is a marathon, not a sprint. But when it comes to just the day-to-day Christian life, it's often referred to as a walk, as walking with God. Think back with Enoch. Enoch was known to have walked with God. Noah walked with God. Read through Deuteronomy, the Israelites are commanded to walk in the ways of the Lord. This is a reminder to us. Think about Enoch's walk with God. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. That means Enoch's day-to-day walk with God, it wasn't just an hour a day. It was a continual step-by-step process that really slows us down. So part of what we need to do when it comes to approaching our time, recognizing that it is precious, is recognizing that our walk with God actually happens at a lot slower pace than what we tend to like to do. Because what we like to do is pack our schedule to the brim. We constantly need to be entertaining our minds, allowing everyone and everything to set our calendar while completely abandoning Jesus. Like when you're setting your calendar for the week, is Jesus coming to your mind? Are you thinking about how this honors him? You realize that God is the only one who can be omnipresent, not you. You can't be omnipresent. You can't be everywhere and be everything to everyone. That's not how God designs you to be, but we try so often. That's why we get sucked into this digital age, trying to go deep with 50 different people at a time on social media. Doesn't work that way. You were designed for one moment at a time. And when you stray from that, you're not going to find peace. So the first thing we just wanted to do with verse 15 is just simply acknowledge this walk language when it comes to authentically following Jesus. That following Jesus happens at a much slower pace than we realize. Question you can ask yourself, you've got 10,080 minutes to live over the next week. How do you think Jesus would use the 10,080 minutes that you're about to live maybe over the next week? How would Jesus use the 24 hours that you're going to supposedly have the rest of this day or over the next day? How would Jesus use his time? Psalm 118:24 reminds us that this is the day the Lord has made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. We need to slow down. Many of you are guilty of embracing the word busy while refusing to be fully human, refusing to admit there is a limitedness to your life, and you're suffering from it, and the people around you are suffering from it, and your relationship with Jesus is suffering from it. Part of what we need to do is just slow down. But then we need to rest obediently. Many of you know that we are called to rest. It's a foundational command that comes from Exodus chapter 20 to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And this foundational command goes all the way back to the beginning of time when Jesus or God created for 6 days and then he rested on the seventh day. You get into the New Testament, there's not only this call to rest, to remember the Sabbath. We're called to quite literally rest in Jesus. Jesus says, come to me if you're weary and heavy laden and I will give you rest. In Hebrews chapter 4, we're urged to lean into this rest that we've been called to. This is a command in Scripture that we're to quite literally rest, but we cannot stand That whole idea of stopping and pausing and reflecting on the goodness and grace of God. We can't stand it when we're not producing. Did anybody notice that your cell phone went down this week? Anybody? Nobody? Okay, I was about to say, y'all, come on. Because the world just about lost their ever-loving minds. I believe it was Wednesday when cell service went down. Couldn't text Verizon. And all the team, it was amazing. Can't text. Can't do anything unless you're connected to the internet. I was texting with my friends that evening. I was like, hey, did y'all lose your cell service? You know, one of them responded and said, yes, and I enjoyed it more than you know. But why is that? Because these cell phones that we have gotten in the way of the rest that God is calling you to. Rest is not just taking a day off and staring at your phone screen. So the minute, and I texted back, I was like, yeah, it's real unfortunate that the only time we can put our phones down is when cell service is down. When in all reality, any of us could just put it away. Generations before us had no issue living life without a cell phone. I'm sure we could easily take some moments to actually rest by putting our phones down. We think stopping to rest is a failure because we stop producing, so we just keep going. We think stopping to rest is a failure because we're not doing anything, when in all reality, it's being human and leaning into who God has called us to be. So very practically speaking, the way we slow down and rest obediently, I think you could take some moments in your day throughout the day to just pause and reflect on the day that you've been given. I'm a big believer in every single morning I've shared with you this kind of different prayers I pray. I praise God for the day that I'm living and breathing, praise Him for His grace and mercy. I take a moment to accept His grace and mercy and forgiveness. I surrender control of my day to God. And then I always end with, I'm going to expect you're going to do great things this day, and I'm going to embrace the day that you have given me. Throughout the day, it's good. If you want to take some moments to rest, I would encourage you just to pause and reflect on the day that you've been given. You know what else you can do to take rest seriously? The type of rest that God's calling you to, I think it's take your sleep more seriously. I think, biblically speaking, we should take our sleep more seriously. You realize a third of your life is spent sleeping. A third of your life, you're just laying, doing absolutely nothing. Yet the other day when I laid in bed, I pulled my phone out. I couldn't help it. But I laid in bed, and I actually looked this up. This was before we were in preparation for the message. I looked up, why does sleep feel so good? Has he ever wondered? And I understand sometimes we enter into those sleepless nights. I've heard it phrased wired but tired. A friend of mine referenced it that way. So, but for the most part, why does it feel so good when you're so exhausted to just go, we've been created this way. We're human. I even think sleep absolutely should be an act of worship. Pastor Jim Henry, the previous pastor of First Baptist Orlando, he talks about every single night before he goes to bed, he prays over his sleep. He doesn't just pray. You know, it's a really good habit just to pray. But he asks God to bless his sleep, to bless his dreams, that it would be worship to the Lord. Take sleep so seriously, more seriously. But then I think the big one is the Sabbath rest that we were just referring to, that we've all been called to once a week to pause and reflect on the goodness and grace of God, to stop producing, to be still and know that God is God and truly rest. If I can just be really open and honest with you this morning, this is a really difficult one for me. I know there's long-running jokes that pastors just work on Sunday. It's not true, believe it or not. We do a lot more than just work on Sunday, but I struggle to just stop for 24 hours and do nothing. I'm always thinking, I could always be leveraging this day for the next, and it crushes me. And you know, every single week that pops up, my rest day I put on Monday, every single week a Monday pops up, and I say, you know what, I'm going to try to get ahead on the week. You know what, I'm actually telling God, my work is more important than your word. what I have to do is much more important than what your word says, and I'm hurting myself, hurting my family, my kids, and our church family. Practically speaking, to slow down and rest obediently is actually take the command to Sabbath rest seriously, to stop and recognize that the whole world's not going to fall apart if you're not producing something for the day, if you're just resting in Jesus. Taking a 24-hour period day of rest is what helps remind you of the precious time you have been given. It's a gift. And it reminds you that before anything else, you were created for worship. You know, what else we can do is stop prioritizing the past by embracing the gospel today. Look at verse 16. This is the verse we were really focusing on today. So back at verse 15, Paul says, pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. Paul says, walk like the wise. And the way you're going to walk like the wise is to make the most of your time. Wise people recognize that time is a precious gift that must be used wisely. That means we're being deliberate. We're being strategic. We're putting energy towards how we're going to use our time, seeking to snap up every occasion that we are given for faithful living and gospel-shaped obedience, conduct that pleases God. We're intentionally stewarding our time. I'm a big Dave Ramsey FPU guy. One of the things that Dave Ramsey teaches is what's called the $0 budget. That is, every single month, you're sitting down, you're looking at how much am I expecting to bring in, and then you assign a place for every single dollar that comes into your bank account. That way you're not wasting your money. Because if you go, oh, you know what, this $200, I'm just going to kind of, I'll use it maybe for something beneficial. If you don't assign something to it, you're going to waste it. I can guarantee you, you're going to waste it. We should be doing the exact same thing with the time that we have been given. To make the most of your time, you're looking at every second, every minute, every hour, every day, and saying, how am I going to use these precious moments that God has given me for His glory and for His kingdom expansion? Why must we do this? Paul tells us, because the days are evil. Paul understood, and we should understand, history in terms of two ages. There's the present age and the age to come. The present age, these are evil days. These are days where the world is in constant opposition to God. The world remains under influence of hostile spiritual powers of darkness. These are evil days. Yet as believers, we aren't captives of this age. We get to participate in the powers of the age to come. We get to live in the present in light of the final redemption. We don't withdraw from these evil days. We don't fear these evil days. We choose to live wisely by making the most of our time. So how can we practically make the most of our time? We reference that too often we prioritize the past. Too often we are trying to escape the reality that we are in. We go into daydreaming, and very often, many of us live looking back to the past in two different ways. Two different ways you'll see this flesh out in your life. First of all, it's just classic nostalgia. You look back and you're like, man, I miss the good old days. You look back and you just live in a world of like, man, do you remember when life was so good? Life was so simple. Maybe you look back when you were 10 and like, man, all I had to worry about was whether I was going to get the pizza or milk or what. Phil, I don't know what your worries were at 10 years old, but you look back and man, life was so simple. I miss the good old days. Or you can do the other route. You look back to the past and there's constant regret. You look back when you realize, man, life was a lot more simple and I just wasted away my days. Or I remember when I said that one thing and it just reset the trajectory in my life, and you can't get over regret. So we prioritize the past by either living in just, I remember the good old days when life was so easy, or I remember that one big regret I made in my life and it's ruined everything. And you let that shape your identity and who you are. And you're not making the most of your time. So what we can do is stop prioritizing the past by embracing the gospel. And here's one way you can do it. Let's say you are living in your past regret. And it's like, man, I can't get over something I've done. I'm taught I need to make the most of my time because the days are evil. I want to leverage this day for the glory of God. Since you're already thinking back in the past and you're living in regret, here's something you can do. Just go 2,000 years further back. If you're already back there thinking of the past, go 2,000 years further back until you run into the cross and you remind yourself the cross changed everything, gospel changed everything, and these past failures do not have to shape who you are today. Embrace the gospel today. You want to make the most of your time? Embrace the gospel today. Maybe you're one of the ones that's stuck in living in the good old days. Okay? You're stuck in the past. Can I just call you to look well ahead to the future? When whatever good old days you think you had, and we've all had good old fashioned great days, nothing compares to our final redemption. Like, you think you had some good days? Maybe this is one of them. This is the greatest day I've ever had at church. I sat in silence for 30 seconds. I hadn't done that in months. Look ahead, and there's so much better days coming. Embrace the gospel today. You want to make the most of your time? Embrace the gospel today. Embrace his grace, his mercy, the gospel. Thirdly, learn to number your days. Part of making the most of your time is by numbering your days. We see this in Psalm 90, verse 12. We read this. Psalmist says, "Teach us to number our days carefully so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts." You know what the psalmist is really asking for? He's asking to cultivate in him a realistic awareness of life's brevity. Wanting to use that awareness to establish his priorities. He's asking God to help him count his days in order to develop wisdom. Here's some news for you today that you already know. That is the reality that your days are numbered. One day, every single person in this room is going to die. We don't like to think about it, but there is already a date on the calendar, sometime, where you are going to die. You don't know it. God knows it. I wouldn't encourage you just to think about that every single day. But that's reality. And when you do take a moment to think like, oh my goodness, I'm going to die. And at this point, you probably have a lot of years you can look back on and think, man, time flies. It freaks you out. It reminds you life is so short. You want to know something that's wild? After you die, 100 years from now, you will be lucky if somebody even knows your first name. I was reading in a book, and it was talking about, like, you know, your great-great-grandchildren aren't even going to know who you are. And then it was like, and if that bothers you, do you even know your great-grandfather's name? And I thought, no, I do not. No one's even going to remember your name. You have been given this day to make a difference when people do know who you are. You want to make the most of your time. You want to not be foolish and understand what the Lord's will is. Stop living life on planet Earth as if you are promised tomorrow and as if you will never die. Wisdom is gained when we remember that life is but a vapor and every breath that we take is a gift. The good news for believers when we're speaking of death is death is not the end. Death is simply a doorway into eternal life with God. That's good news. That's amazing. Our final breath is not it. But we might as well ask the question, since we're on the topic, and you've probably all asked yourself this question. If you knew that this was your last year on planet Earth, you knew that December 31st, 2026, that's it. That's all you got. You get 1 year. What would you do with that time? Like, what pops in your head right now? Would it be kingdom work? Would it be, I need to spend more quality time with the people I love? How would you leverage this next year if you genuinely knew it was your last? One of the ways that we make the most of our time and walk as the wise, not as the unwise, is remember to number our days. Fourthly, pursue depth in your relationships. Pursue depth in your relationships. Verse 17, Paul says, so don't be foolish. Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. He says, rather than be foolish, understand what God's will is. Now, when we're talking about God's will broadly, Paul's often talking about God's saving purpose. He wants to save all people. But then when you take a closer look, it's the implications of the gospel on your life. That is the Lord's will. What God has revealed and accomplished must be lived out. So Paul is urging the Ephesians to grasp more fully His will made known in Christ and apply that to our everyday life. And you want to know something about our everyday life is the amount of time Scripture speaks into our day-to-day relationships. So much in the Bible is about how we're relating with one another. A huge part of God's will on your life is how you're treating each other. God's word says a lot about one another, how we will use this precious gift of time to love one another and serve one another. The first thing that you should be thinking about when it comes to going more deep in your relationship with people is your own household. Your husband, your wife, your kids, the ones you're doing life with more than anyone else. Making the most of your time, having depth in those relationships. If you're a husband, it's loving your wife, how God loved the church. Being willing to do whatever it takes to love her and care for her and nurture her, caring for her every need. It's loving her well. If you're a wife, it's submitting to your husband's leadership. Not in some bad type of authoritarian way. It's just recognizing God has placed him in your home to lead your family, and it's loving your husband well. It's honoring him. Husband, wife, you're loving one another. You have kids. Of course, we know kids are called to live obediently to their parents. But parents, man, we are tasked with the great privilege of raising our kids in the Lord. One of the best things you can learn to do as a parent, as we do live in this digital age, is be present in the lives of your kids. Like, be present with them. Put your phone down. Stop just staring at a screen or putting a screen in front of them. Be present. Do dinner at the table. We're guilty. We went to the new Sliders last night, and on the way home, I had this message on my heart, but Kelly said to our daughter Ivy, we're going to eat in the living room and watch Peppa Pig. I blame Kelly for that one because we didn't apply the message. I'm not perfect at this, but man, do more dinner at the table. Go on walks. Like, go deep and take what God's word says seriously when it comes to your family unit, when it comes to your home. But then, you know, there's a bigger one. There's the church. You know, we often, I say often, one of the things you may hear us say on Sunday is we'll say something like, welcome to our house. Welcome to our house. You know why we do that? We're the family of God. We're a family. We're one in Christ. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome to our house. One of the ways that you can make the most of your time is pursue depth in your relationships when it comes to His church. Hebrews 10 says, don't forsake the assembling. That's so much more than just Sunday. I love gathering with church with you on Sunday. It's the pinnacle of my week, every single week, worshiping with you. But church life is so much more than that. Think about what we read in the New Testament. In John, we're taught to love one another. In Romans, we're taught to honor one another, to rejoice with one another, to live in harmony with one another. In Galatians, we're taught to serve one another. In Ephesians, we're taught to be patient with one another, to forgive one another, to live in harmony with one another. In Colossians, we're taught to bear with one another. In 1 Thessalonians, I was just reading it this morning, we are taught to encourage one another and build one another up. In James, we're taught to pray for one another. When it comes to church life, the depth of relationships that you have within the church, this doesn't just happen overnight. It's an all-in investment. Let me ask, if everyone treated the church, how you treat the church, what kind of church would we be? If everyone over the last month put into investing in the church and these relationships how you did, what kind of church would we be? Your showing up matters because it's not just about you. There is a family of God here who helps shape you and spur you toward your eternal future. You want to know what else matters when it comes to pursuing depth in your relationships? When it comes to not being foolish but understanding what the Lord's will is? Your witness. Time is precious. Leveraging this time for the advancement of the gospel matters. Using our time, our energy, our resources to advance the gospel matters. So use it wisely. I'm a big fan of The West Wing. Are there any West Wing fans in the house? A little bit of an older show. You're missing out if you don't watch it. Amazing show. I own it. So if you're like, I've never watched it, come over to my house. I've bought the whole series. It's an amazing thing. To not get too political, I would vote President Bartlett, who's the president of in the West Wing. I would put him in office all day, every day. Amazing president. I do watch this throughout the year. I haven't watched it recently, but I've watched it several times, and I love the ending of the show. Like, so you get to season 7. I love how the show caps out. I love the finale. I love everything about the West Wing, and I know how it's going to end. So when I start at the beginning, I know how the whole thing's going to end. Yet, it makes me laugh at the same spots, if not more. I'll even get a little teary-eyed a little bit more, and I always look forward to the ending. I love seeing the, I watched the beginning, but I know the end. Here's the thing about life with this precious gift of time that we have. We do know the end of the story. We do know the end of the story. We know how all of this is going to end. We have been given this day, this precious gift of time you have been given. If you're in the room and you're breathing, regardless of where you are in your health, you have this day to leverage for the glory of God. You want to know some other things that we're promised? We're not promised tomorrow, but we are promised eternity with God through Christ. So if you're a believer in the house, that's the end for you. Eternal life. Isn't that amazing? It's why we don't fear death. That's amazing. So what are you doing about it today to help others know? Man, heaven's real. You are going to die one day. Live life using the time that you have like the precious gift that it is. It will change everything about your life. Here's the beauty of all of this is it's always connecting back to the gospel. The reason we can look forward with so much hope is because of what Jesus did for us, that he died on the cross for us. He rose again, conquering sin and grave, something that you and I were never going to be able to do. He ascended into heaven. He's been filling people with his spirit ever since. You want to know what we're celebrating in our house right now? There is a student in our Sunrise Ministry that gave their life to Jesus yesterday. Isn't that amazing? God's still saving people's lives. And he'll do it in your life too. It's just simply acknowledging that Jesus died on the cross for you, that you're a sinner in need of a saving grace of time. I am so guilty. Lord, I'm so guilty of just wasting away my days. And I could put every excuse out there. At the end of the day, it's on me. And I would imagine there's a lot of people in the room who would recognize, yeah, I've wasted some time. I pray that we wouldn't look backwards, that we would look ahead with our eyes fixed on you, but that we would embrace this day that you have given us. It's a gift. So I pray that we as a family of God would use our time wisely today for kingdom advancement. Thank you for the precious, precious gift of time. And thank you that what you call us to is not to get ahead of ourselves. You call us to a daily walk with you, one step after another, not to worry ourselves about tomorrow, not to live in past regret, just to embrace the moments that we have here and now. And when we do that, man, Lord, it's an overwhelming peace. So I pray that we would step into that today. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.